podcast will contain spoilers for the Fullmetal Alchemist and Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood anime series, as well as the Fullmetal Alchemist manga.
Witness the podcasting art passed down the Manwoody line for generations.
Fullmetal Alchemist.
Welcome to the Vassals of Kingsgrave. This episode will be discussing Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood, the second anime that follows the stories of the manga of the same name, minus the Brotherhood part. This is Zach, also known as Alias in the podcast of Ice and Fire forums, and joining me to review and discuss the series, we have Bing.
Hi, I'm Shushine on the forums.
And Adam.
Drowned Snow on the forums.
And this is your first video, okay, right?
Yes, it is.
Awesome. Hopefully we give a good experience and you'll come back for more.
Yeah, I've done like some podcasting with friends, but it's the first time with you guys.
Cool. And we have Tony.
This is Tony, also known as Burrito.
Excellent. So I guess the best place to start, as we always tend to do on this podcast, is to give our ratings for the whole thing, I guess, just the whole series of FMAB. I think the best way to do this is out of Philosopher's Stones. I like that the most. So we'll start with you, Bing. How many Philosopher's Stones would you give this one?
I will give the Brotherhood four Philosopher's Stones.
Yeah, feel free to give the other series as well. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Oh, yeah, sure. And the original series, I would get 3.75. So I think that the two series, the problem with the original series is that it starts out really, really well.
Right.
But then just the plot just derails after it goes into the original stuff. And Brotherhood, it starts pretty poorly because the assumption is you've seen a lot of those episodes in better forms in the original series. But by itself, those episodes weren't that great. But it really gets going after maybe episode 20 or something. So that's why it's, I can't give it a higher than 4.
And how about you, Adam?
For Brotherhood, I think I'd probably give it 4.25 out of 5, and I'd say maybe a fourth the original. That's maybe stretching a little. Together, I think they're probably a 4.5 if you combine them. Because like you just said, the elements from both. I mean, they're separate series, right? But. Oh. But, you know, a lot of it's assumed that you've seen both, right? So
yeah, if you could merge the best of both, then you'd get a 4.5, I guess.
Yep.
Cool. And how about you, Tony?
Let's see. I'll give the original a 4, the Brotherhood 4.5, and the manga a perfect 5. The manga just has a lot more content than Brotherhood, but it's the same great story as well.
Yeah. I would agree with the manga rating as well.
Yeah, personally, I have not read the manga, and I also, to be honest, I have not watched the entirety of Fullmetal Alchemist. I've watched about, I would say, like 3/4. And I did enjoy what I watched, but I would not put it on the same level personally as FMAB, but I think, and I will probably get into this more later, that is partially due to the fact that I watched FMAB in full first. I did actually attempt to watch FMA a while back, but I didn't really get into it. With that said, I'd probably give FMAB probably 4.75 Philosopher's Stones. I know it'd be bad news to try to break one of those up, but yeah, I really enjoyed it. I don't know, it was really caught up in the storytelling, just everything about it, the characters, the music's too much into anime. I definitely do not have probably the canon of experience that you guys have.
This was actually pretty much my very first anime, not counting Dragon Ball Z type stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I have plenty of those, like Dragon Ball Z, Naruto, that kind of stuff, but this is probably, this still probably qualifies as more of like the shonen and the kid anime.
The shonen.
The kind of stuff that shows up like on Cartoon Network and things like that, but I think it kind of stands away from those other series as being a little bit more mature in its storytelling, a little bit more involved.
Yeah, the other series, they usually follow a very straight formula, and that's a formula that's set up 20-30 years ago by an anime called Fist of the North Star, in which you fight the bad guy, you level up, you fight a bigger bad guy. But FMA sort of breaks away from that. It has a central story that it wants to tell, and it's coherent from the beginning to the end.
Yeah, and it's more about what's going on than just like who's the next battle.
Yep.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And that really is why I love it in the end. I don't even think the action in this show is that amazing. There are a few really stellar visual moments animation wise, but I would not say that its greatest feat is its action, though there's plenty of good stuff. And I think it really is the storytelling ultimately. So do you guys have a favorite episode, character, season, moment, thing that you want to point out as just being particularly special to you in this show?
Okay, so my favorite part of the Brotherhood is the Briggs arc, because those are the most awesome characters. And that's really when the story kicks into the high point, when you see what the plot was going.
Yeah, when they start to figure everything out. Just like that point on to like the attack on Central, like that whole like season is just like a movie, like just nonstop craziness. And that's really fun and really exciting to get all that. But if I personally had to pick a favorite moment, it'd probably actually be the part where Colonel Mustang just annihilates Lust. Just
damn you! Yeah, that was
incinerates
mine.
Her. Oh, I'm sorry, but yeah, that part is just so epic. I don't know, just the whole thing, just avenging his friend who he thinks is dead, Havoc, and or he doesn't think he's dead. Or he like gets him to safety. But yeah, it's just a really epic moment. How about Adam and Tony? What are your favorite episode, moment, arc, anything like that?
Well, you took mine, but let's see. The other one I quite liked. it's more so in the manga, but I just liked the bit where Father's plan just resolves and everyone is just dead. It's just a shock horror moment. And you had to wait about a month to get the next update.
Oh, that must have been terrible. And, like, even waiting a week for me, like, I had to just see what happened at that part.
Everyone's just dead, and you see Father in his sort of golden godlike form, the more Elric sort of Hohenheim-type body.
Yeah, I wasn't convinced at that part that, like, things would get better. I mean, I guess they had to.
Storyline purposes.
Right, it couldn't end like that, but I don't know. It was very convincing and very terrible just to watch like all the people like die in the same way that they did back when the whole fall of Xerxes happened. I mean, it was very well put together and very convincing and definitely got me from a tension standpoint, even though it obviously had to get better. And Adam, favorite moment, favorite arc?
Yeah, I mean, for me, honestly, it's probably the stuff at Briggs as well. It's just so great. And just the Armstrongs in general, I love them. But sort of, I don't know, outside of that, like, not having read the manga or anything, but I really enjoyed the first episode with, like, the water ice alchemist. I thought that was just, the visuals there were really nice. And I know he was just sort of a bit of filler, but I thought that was something unique for the series.
Yeah, when I started watching FMAB, having had my limited experience with the original, I was like, what is going on in this first episode? Like, where are
they
we?
They kind of just jump you into it.
Right.
Yeah. And that works, because then you get the second episode to really go back and establish everything.
I mean, the first episode, I mean, it's interesting that I think they created more to introduce the series back to people who have watched the original series. Because they sort of just assumes you know all these characters. But it's interesting that you guys who have not seen the original series and started with Brotherhood found that to be an excellent introduction.
Yeah, I think that that is an issue with FMAB, the fact that they take a lot of it for granted, how you know certain characters, and we'll get into that, like things like Hughes dying very quickly. And personally, one of the things that got me is the infamous Shao Tucker episode in Brotherhood. Like, it's so obvious how evil he is from the start. Like, he's just radiating pure evil in Brotherhood, whereas it's a little more ambiguous in FMA.
I think that's the low point for me for Brotherhood, because that episode in the original series got me really hard. That's my favorite. It was in probably all anime history. That is probably my favorite episode of all time.
Oh, yeah.
It was so well put together and so well written. And unfortunately, in Brotherhood, they sort of just assume that they know they can't do better, so you just sort of shoo it together.
Yeah, in FMA, when they flip the switch on Tucker, you're like, what did I just watch?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, it kind of just happens in a chapter or two in the manga. So the length of time is pretty much the same as in Brotherhood, but with the original, they take a lot of time to set it up because they spend a couple of days or so working with Shao Tucker.
Yeah, and Brotherhood, it all happens in one episode, whereas there's like a pretty decent arc in FMA with the whole alchemist exam.
Mm-hmm.
So how about favorite characters, guys? Do you have anyone that really stands out as the number one, and why? How about you, Bing?
I mean, it has to be Olivia Mira Armstrong, because she's the best. She's awesome. and that is and that base, she makes up the 25.25 philosopher's stones difference between Brotherhood and FMA.
So
pretty
is
much.
She, is she in the manga? She is, right?
She is definitely in the manga. Yeah.
So that is a character I could never understand why you'd leave her out of the original. I mean, she's so fun.
But the thing is, in the original series, she didn't exist.
Right, when there was no point to even go to...
She hadn't been introduced.
They didn't even know she existed.
Yeah, right, they did it before she even was in.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. But she is such a good character, yeah. Just the part where she's playing that general, like, so...
Yeah.
And she's just no nonsense, yeah. Definitely a favorite, too.
Yeah, trying to pretend that she's all up in the act, and internally she's like, I want to murder you! And then does.
And there's that whole bit with her and her brother fighting over the estate. That is some funny stuff.
But you haven't signed over the documents saying that I'm your heir. No, I'm giving it to Roy Mustang. You're both incompetent, but he's slightly better.
Yep.
Yeah, she's so good. Anyone else? What do you think, Adam?
Yeah, like I said before, like, she's definitely one of my favorites. Just anything with the Armstrongs.
Right.
It's just, I think, really, it's either, you know, it's really funny or really well done. Or I guess an interesting kind of side question is, like, did you guys, did you watch the dub or the sub?
Sub.
I have watched every part of it. I have even watched it unsubbed Japanese.
Just because something with, like, you know, with the performances, right, you know, it's depending on which version you watched, a little different.
Yeah, I'm the peasant. I've only watched the dub. There are some animes where I have watched sub, but yeah, for this one, I stuck with the dub, and I don't know, I didn't think it was that bad, but obviously...
It's pretty good dub.
Yeah,
I like it. I've only seen a few episodes of the sub myself, so...
Yeah, I mean, I think, this is one of those things where you stick in your head with whatever you watch first.
Mm-mm.
There are plenty of examples of animes that just have terrible dubbing, and in those cases you want to stick with the sub. But I think with this one, if you watch the dub first, it's solid. Like, there's no reason really to check anything else out unless you're really into it.
Right, and I started with the sub, so I went with the subs. I mean, that's all. I don't really have anything against the dub.
Yeah. Do you have another favorite character, Adam, that sticks out for you?
Oh, I don't know. There's just so many. Roy is obviously the...
Yeah.
You know, he's sort of the, you know, we all wish we could be him, right?
For sure.
Well,
yeah, although he is a bit of an alpha.
Well, in some ways.
Yeah, it's there's the one episode where he fakes the death of, God, what is her name? You guys know.
Maria Ross.
The turnaround on that is so awesome, because you hate him in that episode if you're playing along. Like, I didn't get it the first time I watched it. I did not notice or figure out his plan, and he just seems like such a douche. And then he flips the script, and it's so awesome. That's definitely one of his defining moments. Does anyone else stick out for you, Tony, as a favorite?
I really like the Terminator characters, so definitely Ed and Ling are two of my favorites there. The fact that Ed just really pushes himself to triumph over, and he's got quite a brilliant mind, and he's quite flexible in that sort of way, even if he has that really big temper about his size at the beginning.
Yeah, temper. Doesn't want to be called short. My least favorite moment, I was talking with you guys before the show about this, is after he's recovered from his fight with Kimberly, and he just seems like such a dick at that part, randomly. Like, he's like choking people to knock them out, and then he's like changing the car to be a cooler thing and just being mean to his chimeras. And if I had to pick a favorite group, it would be the chimeras. I love those guys. I don't know why, but they're just fun and funny and
they're
cool sidekicks. So, do you guys want to justify Ed's behavior there?
That was supposed to be funny in the manga.
Yeah.
I mean, that's,
right, yeah.
They rushed through it a bit too fast, so that he seemed somewhat dickish, but it was supposed to be funny.
That makes sense.
That's all.
Yeah, with Ling as well. He's kind of weird. He's definitely a very greedy character, but he's also greedy for what he wants for others as well. Like, he's very focused on what he wants.
There are moments when, like, Ling is sacrificing his companions and flippantly letting them get themselves in danger for this goal that I'm like, oh, don't do that. They're more important than that. But, yeah, it's just a small thing. And I think it's a good character development with him. I think he's a really fun one to watch.
Yeah, I spent a lot of the series not liking him, actually.
Well, you don't really get much time with him as him until he turns into kind of like the greed vessel. So,
yeah.
There's not much to really see that turnaround, but it definitely gets there in the last season, I think, with his little internal battles they have.
Yeah, they bring it around nicely.
Yeah.
They actually demonstrated it quite well in the manga. I'm not sure if it's in the anime as much, but they, when they're depicting both sides, they have one side Greed's face and the other half Lee's slanted eyes face.
Mm-hmm.
When they're switching in and out,
right.
It's just a good visual.
Yeah. So how about least favorite characters? But before we get into this, I do have to address this thing that I had noticed in the show notes, that I listed as potential least favorites Kimblee, and a couple of you said that you actually like him, and he's actually maybe even like a favorite. So could you justify that one for me?
Well, it's not so much favorite. Right, he's
yeah. But
he's a fun villain. He wears a dapper suit, and he's pretty smart. That's...
Yeah, I just like that... he doesn't really try to. He doesn't accept bullshit from anyone. I just watched now where Ed and Kimblee were fighting, and he's going on after hearing Ed say that he has resolved not to kill, and he accepts that it's a fine policy, but it can be taken advantage of where Ed thinks he's managed to win, but Kimblee's got the backup Philosopher's Stone, and he still sort of respects Ed's resolve not to kill. Shown all the way up until the very end of him. But it's just, he also respects the Rockbells fighting in a war, even though he's about to kill them. The Rockbells treating people. I like that he sort of respects people, even if he completely against them, and he's got a completely different personality.
Yeah, he's unique, if nothing else, and I do love that moment with his fight with Ed, and how he kind of shows that you have to be ruthless to succeed, even though he kind of sucks, like, as a fighter. Like, he has this overpowered Philosopher's Stone, and he's still losing to, like, Scar, who is obviously awesome, so, I mean, he's gonna hold his own, but also, like, Ed, if he hadn't, like, cheated.
Well, I mean, that's... The monk, I think the series sort of rushed through his battles a bit much compared to manga.
Right.
And, I mean, I think a part of why I liked him a lot more is compared to the original series, Kimblee, who's just sort of this madman terrorist dude who's...
Complete psychopath instead of
psychopath. And he's not an interesting psychopath. Because this Kimblee...
I'm going to blow you up.
Yeah, basically. And whereas this Kimblee in Brotherhood, he's still a sociopath, but he has his own internal logic. He makes sense.
Yeah, we get that philosophy that is terrible, but also, you know, there's a twisted, like, sense to it. So that does definitely elevate his villain status beyond just being a mad dog.
Right.
But who would actually qualify as your least favorite characters, do you think? How about you, Bing?
In terms of, I really, really hate this character, or this character is not interesting?
No, at least, like, you hate them, not, like, poorly written or anything like that. Just you can't stand those people.
Envy drives me nuts whenever I see him. Such a despicable little piece of shit.
He's fairly competent, though, compared to some of the other ones.
Oh, sure, yes, he's competent, but he's just utterly... he takes such gleeful joy in just doing these most evil things. Like, causing the genocide.
Envy is terrible, but I also think there's this thing that I hear mentioned that the original series does a better job of making you emphatic towards the homunculi, but I really feel like Envy's final moments in FMAB are quite emphatic, or pitiful at least. They're very like...
It makes him seem like a sad little thing.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah, it does, and it's pitiful and sad, and you almost feel bad for this thing that is so twisted and caught up in jealousy, wanting to be something else. And I definitely felt that, and though I assume, I guess, it's even more involved in the original.
But the original, the Homunculus is a completely different set of things.
Yeah.
So it's not quite... The circumstances behind their existence is much more sympathetic, I think, than in Brotherhood.
Right.
Ironically, Envy wasn't really envious of humans there, just pretty much of Ed, kind of, that he was the child that Hohenheim sort of stuck with.
Okay.
But that's all a weird thing with the original series.
Yeah, I'm sure that's good in its own way. But I do have to say, for Envy and for... Like, there's a little bit with Pride there at the end, too. Like, there were moments where I was feeling a little bit of the humanity, or at least of that specific trait in which they embody, kind of seeping through.
Mm-hmm.
We have any other least favorites we want to point out?
I'm not a big fan of Mei-Chan. The little girl, okay, yeah.
Yeah, why not?
I just find her quite annoying, especially at the beginning where she's doting over the Alric brothers.
She gets into Al in the end there when she has his physique that he would have explained.
And then she ends up falling for Envy's tricks, bring him back.
Yeah, it worked out, though. Not a big thing.
Barely.
That's fair. Yeah, I think she's pretty fun. I don't know, she can be a bit annoying at times, but I don't know. She's funny, she's spunky, she has cool alchemy, that ranged alchemy. Helps out in the end.
Alchemy.
Alchemy, excuse me, yes.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Different.
Slightly different.
Yes. Yeah, and the obvious least favorite is Shao Tucker. Like, that guy's just an asshole, he can burn.
Thankfully, not that long in the manga / Brotherhood.
Yeah, right. Scar takes care of that guy.
He is literally the worst character in the original series.
Yeah, he is completely... I cannot stand Shao Tucker in the original series. And he shows up a lot, too.
And he does, like, the most despicable thing, I guess, on a small scale. Like, most emotionally, like, resonantly despicable. Just hate him. Just taking advantage and killing this little girl that you emphasize or empathize and love so quickly. She's just so cute and, like, ah, what a douche. Yeah.
and also any protection, right? Like,
yeah, he it's a betrayal, basically, it feels.
Yeah. Like. It's not just like some random person. It's like you're the person that's looking out for this person, and you violate them in a way that's just like unthinkable to most of us, right?
Well, in the original series, my other least favorite character is Boss Gron. He's awesome in the manga.
Right.
Well, what about Dante?
Dante's just a bad villain. Pathetic. I don't have any feelings one way or the other about her. She's just a bad villain.
She could not have learned how to make a philosopher's stone all that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, someone we haven't really talked about yet that I've mentioned a couple times is Scar. What do you guys make of Scar and his backstory and his role in the story? Do you like it, or do you think it's a little bit, yeah?
I think it's a fairly good redemption arc. Much better than the original, where he's pretty much focused on just obliterating everyone and creating the Philosopher's Stone for some odd reason. Mm-hmm. But, in Brotherhood... Yeah, he's that morally gray sort of character that kind of redeems himself by the end.
He has a much better voice in the dub in Brotherhood, or at least a better attitude. I mean, in the original, he seems very whiny for a long time. I don't know. Just the way he's been is less appealing to me than he is in Brotherhood.
I feel like he's a very necessary character to the story.
Oh, yeah, and like the story really does revolve around the whole Ishvalan thing.
Right.
And just the atrocities there, and he's kind of the embodiment of how doing something terrible can create, you know, it's like eye for an eye kind of thing.
Right.
In the original story, he was, you know, more of a menacing character for a longer time.
Yeah, revenge was a very big theme in the original, and while they kind of sort of got over the revenge theme in Brotherhood.
Right. It's much more personal issue in the original series than in Brotherhood.
Yeah.
Let's see if we've missed anyone. How about Winry? What do we think of Winry?
I do quite like her. Not as much in the original. This is becoming a common thing, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah. It's fine.
But,
it's fair.
She's just sort of hangs around in the original.
Yeah. Right.
Just not really adding too much. And then she gets involved in a weird sub-B plot, and then... hides for the end of the series, whereas in the manga Brotherhood, she sort of starts going on her own path up until she becomes involved in the hostage situation. I don't know, it sort of ends the same way, but...
I like her role in Briggs. I mean, the way she sort of took control of the situation, even though she was the victim. She had a lot more agency in Brotherhood and the manga than in original series, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, and she's just generally a very likable character, if not doing terribly much. And also, this is another question I had that maybe you guys want to discuss, but also, if I had to pick a place where I wanted to live in the world of Full Metal Alchemist, it'd probably be Rush Valley. I just get a good vibe from that place. I don't know, it just seems like a fun place.
I have to deal with people talking about
Automail all the time, right?
Yeah. I'll take the Elric Tome. It looks nice and peaceful.
Right, yeah. What is the... God, I
the East. Know East, I don't know if it's called anything in particular.
Risenbul. Yeah, Risenbul.
Oh, yes. Risenbul. Damn it.
That's a cool place. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a very scenic country, you know. It would be fun to live. As long as we're not committing any taboos. Yeah,
it seems like not a huge state influence out there either.
No.
Right.
And one of the sort of aesthetic things I love in the show is the whole, like, riding trains around. It's just a very consistent thing that we see, and I don't know, it just has a nice vibe to it.
Yeah, consistent steampunk aesthetic.
Who else? General discussion on homunculi? Any specific thoughts you guys have on those guys? Anyone in particular?
Sloth is way better in Brotherhood.
Yeah,
I was just watching that episode yesterday where he shows up at Briggs.
Well, Sloth is a hurt in the original series.
Work is hard.
Yeah,
work is hard. Yeah, he's funny.
Yeah,
life is hard.
And then you get that moment where you find out he's actually incredibly fast and like very dangerous.
Oh yeah,
I mean, Sloth, I think the
fastest homunculi.
I think the background story, the sort of to the homunculi, is actually a little more interesting in the original series than in this series. Because the original series, the homunculi were the sort of failed products of doing human transmutation in the original series.
Okay. Yeah, they were sort of specifically attached to someone, right?
Right. Yeah.
They end up with better backstories, but I just kept hating the parts where they're going, "No, we must fight him. No, you can't. He's my loved one," or whatever. "They're my loved one. Stop fighting with each other."
I mean, I like some homunculi in one series better than the other, and I think King Bradley is a much more interesting character in Brotherhood than in the original series.
He's a much better Wrath than Pride.
Yes. And of course, the reveal of who Pride is in the original, in Brotherhood, is much better.
Oh yeah, he is terrifying.
Yeah,
he is so scary. The part with Hawkeye, you know, in the mansion, just kind of stalking her. Right. Like, oh, what a creepy little kid! I can't believe they let him live.
Well, he revived.
Yeah, well, that's
now or something.
That's just Ed's way.
Yeah,
they do have that not so subtle threat at the end. Like, if he sticks a toe out of line, he's going down. Yeah, generally the homunculi, I mean, I think they're good villains. I think that Greed in particular is really cool. I do like the sort of way they humanize the others. I also think they're all very scary and very powerful and just work really well as that powerful force, and also funny at times, like, you know, like Gluttony, hilarious, and Pride too, or what's his name, Sloth too, just hilarious. The more like the henchmen homunculi that don't have as much depth, but they have more girth.
Yeah, the more monstrous ones.
Yeah, and if I actually were to pick a least favorite character, it'd probably be Hohenheim. I'm not a fan of that guy. I feel like the story distract, like, for, just to be clear, I do love the Dwarf in the Flask episode. I think it's a really, really good backstory, really good cutaway, and obviously it explains so much. And I like the whole conflict with him and his sort of pseudo-creation. They kind of helped each other and ultimately are at odds with each other. But I just feel like the series kind of gets a little stuck on him, and in talking a little bit about the ending, I feel like it's kind of, he's kind of like the Deus Ex Machina, where he spent like this whole time like tearing his chest out and doing the whole thing to set up the giant counter transmutation circle, and I guess it had to happen, but it just wasn't as appealing to me, his whole arc.
Well, I actually think he's a better character in Brotherhood than the original series. I mean, because of how the plots were derailed towards the end, you really don't know what to make of Hohenheim. Whereas in Eddie's in Brotherhood, he's a consistent character in his sort of redemption arc sort of way.
Right.
But you also see how just utterly exhausted with life he is.
Yeah, and there are good parts. I do like his whole bit with their mother. His kind of struggle to associate himself with his kids and to get over the fact that, I don't know, he's like sort of building up towards something that he's never going back to, and his whole struggle with like having a family after all the horror he's witnessed. I do like that, but there's just parts that kind of, they just rub me the wrong way, as opposed to a lot of the other stuff in the show. Anyone? Yeah. Any other characters that you want to point out to discuss in particular?
Not really. I kind of like the comparison between Bradley, Raff, and Lingreed. They're okay. Very similar, but yet quite opposites in terms of their philosophies and how they reacted to things. Mm-hmm. For one example, how when being introduced to the Philosopher's Stone, Greed accepted the souls and accepted greed as coming into his being, while Bradley, Raff, he fought among all the other souls and ended up with being the only one left, whichever one it was, and all their other philosophies in terms of ruling and being for the people or the people for the ruler.
Yeah, I do. Raff, if I had to pick, Raff is probably my favorite homunculus even more than Greed, even though Greed's kind of the good guy one. I just like his whole arc, his whole like struggle to do exactly what you said, kind of figure out how his function as a ruler is. And he's interesting. He's also a badass fighter. Just watching go to town.
He kills a tank.
Yes.
yeah.
And it takes forever to take that guy out, man. He
he doesn't terrible. Even have any regeneration. He's just that good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes. He's a monster. Obviously, there is the discussion that's kind of been underlying throughout the whole comparison between FMAB and FMAA. I think this is a good time to do that, I guess. We've discussed it, but is there anything else that you guys really want to point out in that comparison? What you think makes each series good? What you think makes each bad? What you think ultimately makes one better than the other?
So I sort of just want to talk a little bit about the difference in the sort of the way it's written.
Yeah, go for it.
Because the original series is written by this this fella named Sho Aikawa, who is probably one of the most interesting fellas in doing anime. He has done quite a few good series in the recent past. I don't know if you guys have watched 12 Kingdoms. It's pretty good. Also sort of pseudo Chinese history type of series. A pretty good series called Nadeshiko. But he has also done so back in the 80s. He has done some other trash. He has done something called Angel Cop, which I'll just spoil the story on because nobody should ever watch this piece of shit. The storyline is basically America, the Jews are trying to destroy Japan.
Okay.
And they're turning Japan into a nuclear wasteland or something. And it's some utterly, incredibly violent trash. And it's written by the same guy who did Full Metal Alchemist.
Oh, wow.
But, wait, when was this?
This was back in the 80s. I think 1987, 88.
Huh.
Angel Cop, he also did a Violence Jack, which is probably one of the most misanthropic thing I've ever seen, and most violent thing. If you like to see little kids get butchered, that's a show for you.
So that's where we can get the cynicalness of the original series.
Yes, and that's what I had to put out.
Our world is the energy for alchemy in the other world.
Mm-hmm. That's what I want to put out.
I can definitely buy that for sure, because I did have a much harder time watching the original series for reasons like that. Like, it's just, it makes me more uncomfortable. I don't know.
It's a lot more gloomy. It's a lot more, it's a lot more cynicism involved. And but like some people will still say that the original series is much better than Brotherhood because they like that kind of thing.
Oh yeah, yeah, I can totally see the appeal, but it's not for me personally. I'm very, I have a gentle heart, like some Khaleesi. That have been mentioned.
Wait, are we Song of Ice and Fire readers?
Perhaps. It's possible for those who are listening and don't know. I don't know why you wouldn't know this, but we are the offshoot or one of the offshoot podcasts of Song of Ice and Fire / Game of Thrones. So yeah,
talking about funny about the Grim Fantasy series,
right.
And that most of us are preferring the happier one rather than the grimmer, cynical one.
I don't know how I get through a Song of Ice and Fire. I don't know how I handle it.
But yeah, another one of problem with Sho Aikawa is a lot of his stories sort of just derail and go off to weird places when he's the one in sole creative control. Like it is with he's very good with elevating sort of individual episodes and adding emotional depth and atmosphere, especially if they're supposed to be really sad episodes, like the Nina episode in the original series and the Mace Hughes death episode. But if you ask him to do world building or build a coherent plot, then he'll usually go to very weird places, like surprise Nazis.
Yeah. I've heard of this. This interesting ending for FMA. Could someone give me some more context to that? Because I never got that far. I kind of want to understand what's going on there with the Nazis and everything.
The context basically is when you reach, I don't know, episode 40. I want to say 48, 49. I quite don't remember.
I don't remember, but. It's basically the other side of the gate is our world, and apparently all the pain and suffering and deaths is energy for alchemy.
Basically, and Nazis showed up when you least expect them to show up.
Yeah, that movie.
Oh, and yeah, that movie is trash.
Can't have magic in the real world because we have magic here.
Yeah, basically.
So basically, Goodwin's Law was applied to anime.
Yes. Yes, unfortunately.
Excellent. I kind of want to see this now. It might be cool to me because I was not too engaged by the kind of stereotypical kind of way that the original or a Brotherhood kind of wrapped up. It was just a little too clean, so maybe I need some of that madness.
If you want weird, mad, and utterly chaotic ending, original series is the way to go.
Watch Conqueror of Shambhala.
I don't know if I'll go that far, but okay.
Oh, you got it.
Fritz Lang equals King Bradley. Yeah. There you go.
I'll go all the way.
It has its moments, but it will leave you feeling horrible.
Yeah.
Excellent. If I had to qualify it, I think it would be that I would have enjoyed watching the original series more as a weekly thing that I went to watch on TV. Mm. Whereas I feel like the Brotherhood kind of functions more as a complete thing that is kind of like these mini movies going one after the other, and I would have a much harder time kind of enjoying each episode individually, I think.
Though
it could be said that since there's more filler in the original, it seems that maybe not, but I think that's part of the whole episode by episode kind of thing.
I've been noticed how they've been cutting the episodes where they cut in the middle of action sequences quite a lot when for the next episode.
Right.
Like for the attack on Briggs by Sloth. They cut that halfway through for some odd reason rather than trying to do the whole thing in one episode. They don't make any filler to expand, or they just cut in the middle of things.
The Brotherhood sort of ends in a very weird episode count, 64, which usually you see anime ending 13, 26, 52 at most. 64 is a very weird number, and it suggests that the studio was just trying to keep that episode length down as much as possible, but 64 was the best they could do.
You thinking it was originally going to be longer?
I was thinking, I mean, if they adapted the manga to its fullest without cutting things, then it would definitely be much, much longer.
Yeah. And maybe some of that stems from, you know, they're going through the process and they're like, well we sort of covered enough of this in FMA, so...
Well, that part was just straight bullet, straight through, faster than it was in the original series.
Yeah, the last season, I guess, of FMAB is very strange for me because I do love it. Like, I do love the constant action episode to episode. It's basically one big battle the whole season, and even a little bit of the season before. There's definitely, I don't think it serves too well as episodically very entertaining. I feel like you really need the full thing all at once or in very close proximity to enjoy it. And I think it is kind of weirdly rushed. That is kind of unappealing.
Imagine reading the manga month by month. Described as the holy shit quotient going up and up and up each chapter.
It's definitely the cliffhanger, never-ending cliffhanger kind of thing.
Nope, I experienced that.
I can only imagine. It's kind of like waiting for a book to come out for 6 years.
Yeah, I think I got them all, like, you know, in the mail, like Netflix, when the Blu-rays were released. Wow. And so that's how I saw them. So I get chunks at a time, you know. Now it's all streaming, so.
Yeah. Right. Totally Netflix this. Though on Netflix, the last season is not available. I don't know why.
It's not?
Not in dub that I saw. So it's weird.
That's weird. A weird thing. I think the complete original series is also on Funimation's website.
Yeah, they're pretty open with it.
Ways to do this.
Yeah, I think it's all on YouTube, too. So, yeah, it's definitely not too underhanded in figuring that one out. Let's see. Any thoughts on the whole concept of alchemy itself? Anything that strikes you about it? I don't personally find it terribly engaging as like an anime central power kind of thing. I think that it's cool, and I love the way that they kind of quantify it with the laws of equivalent exchange, though that's kind of bullshit most of the time. But yeah, I mean, yeah. And there's some cool stuff they do with it. Like, I love the flame alchemy Mustang. That's just, you know, shooting flames out of your hand. That's never not cool, right?
It is kind of overpowered, as you put on here.
Yeah, and just the way, you know, like, he does the snap and, like, psh, like a lighter. Mm-hmm. It's pretty epic and pretty powerful. It just like, and when you're in that issue with the homunculi where they keep regenerating, just keep shooting fire, just keep going, eventually it runs out.
I don't know, I think it serves its purpose.
Yeah,
like, right. they clearly wanted it to be, you know, we don't want to have a world based on magic where just sort of anything can happen, and we want to have some sort of rules, so you still get like skepticism among the people, and like, oh well, the alchemy, that's, you know, that's sort of just like, you know, book learning that we don't understand, but mm-hmm. at the same time, it basically is just dressed up magic.
Basically, yeah. I like that you have to at least be smart to be able to do alchemy. So these people are nerds in addition to...
You pretty much need a degree in chemistry to do alchemy.
Basically. Basically.
Is there no, like, innate trait you need? Is it not, like, midi-chlorians or, like, your Kekkei Genkai or whatever? Like, is not
it could
a...
be, well, it could be skill?
If you see the other side of the gate, I mean, well, the other side, you see the guy on the gate,
you can get all the knowledge.
Right, and you can do that. You don't have to draw circles. You don't have to draw circles. I can do it just with your hands. But I think that's it. Otherwise, anybody can really learn, I think.
I don't think it's a coincidence that Hohenheim's kids were so adept at alchemy just from the get-go.
Sure.
From the get-go. Mm-hmm. It definitely is like a thing that a very small sect of society can do. And it probably can be chalked up to mainly it's very hard to learn. You need to be very smart. You need to understand all the rules. But I do wonder if there's like a kind of like some people are born for this.
How did
Major Armstrong learn alchemy? How did that work?
He's a lot smarter than he looks.
His family.
Yeah, he's not this stupid.
Yeah, because you see, it's so hard to tell because they... It's clearly like certain families seem to be better at it, or certain groups seem to be better at it, but is it because they know what they're doing, or because they have access to something that someone else doesn't? Like, it's not really, is it a genetic thing, or is it just sort of a resource thing?
I mean, I think the Alric brothers, in addition to their genetics, also had the advantage of all those books that Hohenheim had.
The whole library. For sure, and they probably was some like father complex, like wanting to impress him, so they took the time to learn it. That definitely is part of it. That's really all I have to say on alchemy, though. Are there any, like, moments, arcs, anything that you want to highlight for discussion that was particularly interesting that we missed?
I think the most important difference between original series and Brotherhood is the world building.
Okay.
In that, original series is very much Amistris focused until you get surprise Nazis. Whereas in Brotherhood, you get a sense that this is a very coherent world, that Amistris really is just a sort of small part of a giant whole.
Large Briggs in the north, large Shing in the east, and then whatever place in the west that Ed ended up visiting.
Yeah, and we go to some of those places.
Yeah, and that whole arc I really love, where like the manhunt for Scar, like, and how Bradley kind of separates Mustang's team in all the different places. I don't know. That's a fun way of kind of introducing us to the whole landscape.
Mm-hmm.
Though a lot of it is like at that point totally just war torn battle kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of that part where Kimberly tricks the Drachmans into just running into the wall and getting annihilated.
I just watched that. It was just playing now.
Yeah, that part is... That's seriously fucked up. But yeah. It's also just cool to watch how badass Briggs is, the Briggsman.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god.
Yep.
Don't mess with those guys. They're Night's Watch equivalent. They're way better than Night's Watch. They're actually trained. They know what they're doing.
And they're merciless, as can be seen in the central attack.
Yes,
yep.
They're the best.
And Captain Buccaneer's alligator arm.
That. Captain Buccaneer.
That dude is badass.
I love when they first go up there and his automail's not working, and this guy with the clamp arm just comes and just tries to kill him, not letting him explain himself. That's like the whole theme of the introduction to Briggs. Like, they just do not let him explain himself. They have no time for that shit.
Everyone's a Drachma spy.
Yes. That's probably my favorite part, like you mentioned earlier. The whole Briggs. Just those are the coolest guys. And yep. And generally that is a great addition to the world, like just getting that difference from mm-hmm. the sickly corruption that is Central.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so strange to me, like, that this whole country is built upon slaughter and this whole plan to make this giant abuse of it to kill everyone mm-hmm. and become God. I don't know. I'd much rather live somewhere else if I could than this awful place, even though there's some cool stuff in there.
There's just one more example I wanted to put on the cynical yeah. versus optimism of the original two Brotherhood.
Okay.
In the original, it sort of ends with the philosophy of maybe equivalent exchange can't always, isn't always real, but we can always strive towards that sort of thing. While in Brotherhood, Al comes up with the philosophy of putting 10 in and getting 11 out, just trying to put more in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just striving to get more out. Just so I can't remember exactly how he put it, but
that's the gist from what I recall.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Give 10 back, get 10, give back 11 or something.
Yeah.
He doesn't really explain himself and how that would work necessarily. Right. There's a lot of research involved. But yeah.
Just a general philosophy. I just like that sort of thing. They're giving back more.
Right.
Than what you're giving.
And so it's and because of the existence of the Xing and the different sort of alchemy, I mean, alchemy history, whatever, it shows that the world is not just governed by a single set of laws.
Yeah, there are other options. The Mestris way is not necessarily the right way or the best way to understand.
In fact, the Mestris way is definitely not the right way.
No, it's the worst way, actually. It's completely the worst way. Mestris sucks. It's a terrible place, generally. There's some good stuff again in there, but generally terrible. Speaking of that ending part, I have to say that part where finally Ed breaks down to Winter and he's like, "I'll share 73% of my life with you," whatever he says. That probably is the
give
cutest.
Me half of your life and I'll give half my life to you.
I mean, it's heavy-handed as hell, but yeah, I mean, I thought that part was pretty cute and like a nice way to wrap that up.
It's nice to have some like romance in this series. Yeah, whereas in the original series, it just didn't happen.
Yeah, so I hear. And that sucks for me because I love when the shipping, when it works out. I just want to see the satisfaction, even if it's a little, kitschy or just too easy. I still enjoy it. It makes my heart warm inside, and that's what matters. Anything else that we have? We're at about an hour. I think we've done a pretty decent job here going through things, but is there anything else you guys want to highlight?
That's about it from me.
Okay.
Yep.
Good. Awesome. Well, I guess that'll do it then. Thank you guys for joining for this. This was a lot of fun. I just wanted to talk about this series so bad with people after I watched it. I love that VOK gives that doorway because I can't find anyone in my real life that watches this stuff. It sucks. So I'm glad I have you guys. Thank you for this.
No problem. Awesome. Thank you so much for hosting.
Cool.
Yeah. Thanks for setting it up.
No problem. Awesome. All right. We'll wrap it there. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you guys for joining me once again. That'll do it for this episode of VOK. See you next time. Bye.
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 Full Metal Alchemist.
Hohenheim is the character who does those, like, next episode, next time, right?
Father.
Yes. Those are weird. They're, like, weirdly abstract, but they're kind of cool. I don't know. I didn't watch all of them, because Netflix is the thing where before the episode fully ends, it goes to the next one.
Then it skips you past the beginning.
Yeah. Though I have to always watch the intro and the outro in full. I love the music of this show. That's a thing I didn't mention. And I'm gonna put it in the show. I'm gonna put some of that in here, a little clip.
I like some opening.
Yeah, what's everyone's favorite openings and endings?
I really liked the fourth opening, the chemistry opening. They've been a group around. They've been a group that's I liked around. They've been around forever, and that's a really good song. I think Period is the song.
Yeah, Period. That's top two for me, but number one has to be Again. Just love it.
Really?
Love it. Yeah, I know some people aren't into it, but I don't know. It just caught me immediately. It was probably the reason why I kept watching, to be honest. I thought it was that good.
Ah.
or at least what got me immediately sucked in.
I'm quite fond of the last one, Rain. But
so sad.
Also because of the visuals, yeah.
Yeah.
The visuals.
Everybody's crying.
All right, I think that's all I got. I'll throw this little after show bit in too. Cool. Thank you guys again. That was fun.
Thank you.
Cheers. ように